This evening we're going to be beginning a series on the Lord's Prayer. And so we'll be going through the different petitions of the Lord's Prayer over the next several weeks in the evening. And tonight, as a way of beginning that series on the Lord's Prayer, we're going to start just one step prior to the prayer in the Catechism in Lord's Day 45. Because I think Lord's Day 45, especially question and answer 116 that we're going to be looking at tonight, has to be looked at and has to be understood before our series on the Lord's Prayer is going to make any difference in our lives. And so we're going to be reading question and answer 116 tonight. And I will read the question, let's all together read the response. And the question is this: why do Christians need to pray? Because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us. And also because God gives His grace and Holy Spirit only to those who pray continually and groan inwardly, asking God for these gifts and thanking Him for them. Let's pray. Father, we come to You in prayer at this time because we want to know more about prayer. And specifically tonight, Father, we need to know why we need to pray. Lord, we know that You call us to pray. Over and over again in Your Word, You call us to pray. And yet so often in our lives, prayer is almost forgotten. And so we ask, Lord, that through this service tonight, we might better understand and set ourselves to prayer. Teach us, in Jesus' name. Amen. In life, one of the hardest things to do is to finally, at some point, be able to distinguish your needs from your wants. That's a problem that almost all children have at some point along the line. They can't really distinguish between what they need and what they want. And adults have the same problem. There are thousands, perhaps millions of homes in America who have thousands and thousands of dollars racked up on their credit cards because they really couldn't make a distinction between what they wanted and what they needed. It's a sign of maturity, isn't it? When someone is finally able to say, no, those things might be nice someday, but that's not what I need. I'm going to set myself first to those things that I need. And then somewhere along the line, maybe, I'll get some of those things that I just want. Isn't that what we'd love to hear all of our children say someday when they grow up, or if they're already grown? Isn't that the kind of outlook that we always hope to have in life? That we first concern ourselves with our needs, and then in time, someday, maybe, if the Lord wants it, we'll get some of the things that we want. It's a sign of maturity. Understanding your needs and distinguishing them from your wants is a sign of maturity. And it's because of that that I find this question 116 so striking. Because it doesn't say, why would it be a really good idea for Christians to pray? It doesn't say, wouldn't that be great if someday, somewhere down the road, when we all got enough time, Christians would pray. It says, why do Christians need to pray? Why is it not a want for Christians? Why is it not something that can just happen someday? Why is it something that Christians need? That's the way the Catechism addresses it. It places it in that category. Something that's necessary for us. In the same way that food and clothing and shelter are necessary for our physical life, the Catechism says prayer is necessary for our spiritual life. It's not a want. It's a need. It's that critical to us. And the Catechism lists two specific ways or two specific reasons why prayer is a need for us and not a want. And the first is this. It says, prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness that God requires of us. It's the most important part of the thankfulness that God requires of us. So the most important part of our thankfulness is not service, as important as service is. The most important part of our thankfulness is not living according to God's will or law, as important as that is to our thankfulness. The most important part of our thankfulness, says the Catechism, is prayer. Now stop and think about that. It's the most important. So if you want to show God that you're thankful, what is the first thing that should come to mind? Prayer. We should pray if we're thankful. Psalm 116, verses 12 and 13 say this. It says, how can I repay the Lord for all of his goodness to me? In other words, how can I say thank you? What can I do to show my thanks? He says, I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. He's saying, what can I do to repay the Lord for everything that he's done for me? That's like a rhetorical question, and the answer is nothing. There's nothing that we can do to repay the Lord for everything that he's done for us. And so what do we do instead of trying to pay him back? We call on his name. We lift up his name in prayer. We turn ourselves to him and have fellowship with him in prayer. See, prayer means that there's no doubt in our minds where these things come from. There's no doubt in our minds who it is that we're supposed to be thanking for whatever it is that we have. Prayer is distinctively aimed toward God. We turn ourselves and our minds and all that we are toward him. We give him, as it were, our undivided attention and make it very clear that we're thankful. It's the most important part of the thankfulness that God requires of us. 1 Thessalonians 5 says basically the same thing. Paul says to the church there, pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Pray continually. And that word means continually. All the time. Pray, pray, pray. Now, I've been in situations before where you meet someone who prays continually. And after a while, you feel uncomfortable. At the drop of a hat, they want to pray. And sometimes you say, well, why don't we just get out there and do something? And that's necessary. But the most important part is that we pray, is that we turn ourselves completely toward him and acknowledge all that he's done for us. Zacharias Ursinus. Sounds like some cold or something like that. But for those of you who remember your catechism, he was one of the writers of the catechism. And he also wrote a commentary on the catechism to explain more fully what they meant by these answers. And with regard to this point, he says this. It was also chiefly, now he's talking about public prayer now, okay? Public vocal prayer. He says, it was also chiefly for this, that is public vocal prayer, that the tongue was made, that God might be praised and magnified by it. And he adds, kind of offhandedly, it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. It's for this, he says, that the tongue was created. Now think about that. So the tongue wasn't created chiefly, that is, most importantly, for talking about the weather. The tongue wasn't made chiefly, or most importantly, for discussing problems that we have, or any other kind of communication between us. It was created chiefly, or most importantly, that God's people might speak to him, that his name might resound. That's why the tongue was made, he says. And then, you still have that up, is it? Yeah, this last part here. And it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaketh. What's he saying there? He's saying that the mouth speaks because of what is overflowing in the heart. So, if praise is overflowing in the heart, you won't be able to contain it in the heart. And it will spill out, as it were, from our tongue. This picture that Ursinus gives, you know, these stuffy 17th century theologians, the picture that he gives of prayer is astounding. It's the most important part of the thankfulness required by God. It's why the tongue was created, to direct ourselves to God in thankfulness and praise. And some of that is done in song. You know, songs, when they're directed at God, they're prayers. So the first reason that the Catechism gives as to why prayer for Christians is not a want. It's not something on our list that would be nice if we had it someday. The reason why it's a need is because God requires us to show our thankfulness to Him. And the most important way we do that is by prayer. That's the first reason. Now, the second reason that the Catechism gives is this. Because, it says, God gives His grace and Holy Spirit only to those who pray continually and groan inwardly, asking God for these gifts and thanking Him for them. Well, if you thought the first point was a little wild, try this one. That God gives His grace and His Holy Spirit only to those who pray continually and groan inwardly, asking Him and thanking Him for them. This is the second reason that it's a need for us. Prayer is a need. Now, in our tradition, we emphasize very much the sovereignty and the providence of God, meaning that God is in control of everything and that He has a specific plan for everything. We call those God's attributes, the things that are true of Him. And they are indeed true. But we run into a problem when we get it mixed up a little bit. Because we say in our minds, well, look, if God is sovereign, so there's nowhere that He's not in control, and He has a definite plan that He's going to carry out, well, then why should I pray? What good is it going to do for me to get on my knees and call out to Him when He's a sovereign God in control of everything and He's got a definite plan for everything? And when we think that way, we don't pray. It's like a lost cause. It's like trying to convince a parent who you know isn't going to agree with you. And so we don't pray. But we misunderstand. Those things are true of God. That He is sovereign, and that He has a definite plan for each and every one of us and for the whole world. And that plan will come to pass. Those are all true. But what we forget, and what I've said already a couple times in weeks past, and I probably say again, is that God does not normally work by sending lightning bolts from heaven. And what I mean by that is this. God's eternal will for me was that I would come to know Him and call out in His name. But it did not happen to me walking down the road one day with a lightning bolt from heaven. I was raised by Christian parents that He gave to me. And they taught me. He works through people. Does He have to? No. He chooses to. So this sovereign God who's in control of everything and has a definite plan for everyone chooses to make that plan true through people, through us. That's the way he wants to do it. See, God's intention has always been that we would have fellowship with him. In other words, that we would be in the close relationship with him, where we would experience the incredible peace and love of being that close to a holy God. That's his intention for us, to be in close fellowship with him. And in order to draw us into that close fellowship, in order that we might come to him over and over and over again and not forget about him, but always be drawn closer to him, he has decided to work through our prayers. He has created a situation where for his will to be done in this world, he was going to work through our prayers, and by working through our prayers, he would draw us to himself. See, it's all part of one grand scheme. But he works through us, and he wants us to call on him. That's the way he has chosen to do it. Now, he doesn't have to do it that way. He doesn't have to work through our prayers. He could do it all by himself if he wanted to. Those things are all true. And yet, because he does not want to be this God far off who just does whatever he pleases when he pleases, but he wants to be a personal God whose children call out on him and come to him and get to know what it's like to be close to him, he decides to work through our prayers. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open." He says, "Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you, then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" In the Narnia Chronicles, I don't know how many of you have read the Narnia Chronicles, just for my own. Good. We love to read the Narnia Chronicles. And in the book, The Magician's Nephew, there is this scene where Aslan, the great lion, who is the Christ figure in these stories, he sends the boy who's kind of the center of the story, his name is Diggory, he sends him on a mission. And he sends, this is an important mission, and he sends him on the back of a flying, talking horse. Okay? So this boy is flying away on this talking horse. And as he gets a few hours into the journey, he realizes that this journey is going to be more than just a few-hour trip. And he starts to realize that he didn't take any food along. And the horse says to him, he says, "Well, you should have asked Aslan. I'm sure he would have given you food if you had asked." And Diggory, he's, you know, a smart little kid, he says, "Well, I should think that Aslan would have known I would have needed food." In other words, if he's such a know-it-all, if he's so all-powerful, then he should have known. He should have supplied me with it anyway. And the horse says, "Ah, yes, but I get the distinct feeling that he likes to be asked." Could God supply all of our needs without us even asking him? Well, sure he could. It's not a matter of what he can do. It's a matter of what he wants to do. He wants to respond as we pray. He wants us to ask. So can God deepen the faith of our children all on his own? Can he bring them to faith as they grow up on his own? Sure he can. Can God turn the hearts of our neighbors to him in faith all on his own? Well, sure he can. He can do all of these things on his own. But he chooses to do it as his people pray. So, if we want our children to come to faith, then ask. If we want our neighbors to come to faith, we must ask. While he can do it on his own, He has not chosen to work that way. And so we need to ask. We need to pray. See, our prayers are part of the fulfillment of His plan for the universe, that ordinary men and women, sinners saved by grace, would actually come before a holy God as our Father and ask Him for what we need. That's the way He designed it. And so He waits to hear us ask. He waits. He longs to hear our prayers. His purpose is to work through our prayers for the building of His kingdom. On this point, Ursinus, again, says this about this truth that we need to ask. He says, "Prayer is therefore just as necessary for us as it is necessary for a beggar to ask alms." What he's saying there is, prayer is as much a need for us as it is a need for a beggar to ask for money. It's not a want. It's not something that would be nice somewhere down the road. It's a need for today, for right now. And that is why, you know, when He taught His disciples to pray, He did not teach them to pray. He didn't say, "Pray this way. Oh, great, almighty, omniscient, sovereign being who does what He wants whenever He wants." He didn't say that. He said, "Pray this way. Pray, our Father. Come to this sovereign God, this all-powerful God, as His child, and ask Him." That's the kind of situation He wants for His children to ask Him. It's definitely a sign of maturity when people are able to distinguish what they want from what they need. It's something that we look for in our children. It's a way that we judge people, how they live. Do they look after their needs first, or are they just always off looking after their wants? Brothers and sisters, prayer for us is a need. Can you imagine saying of food or of eating, "It'd be nice someday, if I get the time"? We don't say that about food, and we can't say that about prayer. First, because it's the most important part of the thankfulness that God requires of us. And secondly, because God gives His grace and His Holy Spirit only to those who pray continually and ask God for it. Let's ask God for it.